Amen. Praise the Lord. God's good. Are we looking forward to 2023? Amen.
Yes.
It's here whether you're ready for it or not. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2022 was a good year in many respects. It was a bad year in some respects, but you know what? 2023 is going to be a blessed year. Amen. You just need, as Brother Jim said downstairs, you need to start confessing that over yourself. You need to start confessing that over your life every day. Amen. God's not done with you yet. Some people have been blessed immeasurably this year, but God's got even more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This morning, as we begin this new year, enter into a new period of our lives, a new period personally in the church, we're going to be partaking of communion today. And communion, my belief is communion should be something that's special. It's not just something that we do as a routine and just do it out of habit or do it out of a time when we just not even think about it. Because I want, when we partake of it today, I want you to really think about what we're doing. Amen? What does it mean? What is it symbolic of? And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, it says, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the body of the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ?" We're going to take what is commonly known as communion today. So when we take communion, we'll look at this even more as we go, but communing with the blood of Christ, communing with the body of Christ. Some people refer to this as the Eucharist, from the Greek word Eucharisto, which means giving of thanks, which Jesus did at the Last Supper. Matthew 26, 26 and 27 says, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it.'" Communion, or the Eucharist, or the whatever you want to call it, is a simple act in which we who are Christians partake of the bread and we drink of the fruit of the vine. It's an important act, and one that we should understand why we do it, or else it's just meaningless to us, displeasing to God, can even be detrimental to us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We want to do it in the way that the Lord intended for us to do it. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So the meaning of this communion, the meaning of this supper, first and foremost, it's a memorial. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. We eat the bread in memory of his body. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 6. says, the New Living Translation reads, "Yet it was our weakness he's carried, it was our sorrows that weighed him down. We thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for our sins, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." Praise the Lord. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. It says, the New American Standard reads, "And although you were previously alienated and hostile in attitude, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his body of flesh through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and above reproach." Hallelujah. Amen. When we take of the body, when we partake of that wafer today that symbolizes the body of Jesus Christ, recognize and know that it's because of his broken body, it's because he was pierced, it's because he was beaten. He carried the weight of all the sins of the world to the cross with him. All of our sins were upon him. And through his body, through the death of his flesh, you were reconciled unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. We drink the cup, the fruit of the vine, in memory of his blood. There, look in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, "And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven," hallelujah. He made peace through the blood of his cross. God's Word translation reads, "God was also pleased to bring everything on earth and in heaven back to himself through Christ. He did this by making peace through Christ's blood sacrificed on the cross." Glory to God. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We're taking this all as a memorial, remembering what Jesus did for us. Matthew 26, 28 says, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins." Ephesians 1, 7. That was the New Living Translation. We partake of communion to remember him whose death made the new covenant possible. Look at Hebrews 9, 15. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 9:15 says, "For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, in order that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a covenant, there must also of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never enforced while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood." Hallelujah. Verse 19, "For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you.' In the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters a holy place year by year with blood not his own. Otherwise he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the consummation of the ages, he had been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him." Hallelujah. When Jesus went to that cross and he died on the cross, he canceled the debt of every sin, every ordinance, everything that was levied against you, everything that you ever did wrong in your past, everything you ever did wrong in your future. Jesus paid the penalty for it. And it says he took it to the cross and he nailed it to the cross. Amen? Hallelujah. He bore in his own body the penalty for our sins. As we partake of communion today, we need to reflect on those things. Amen? He shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Glory to God. He took him upon his body. He carried him to the cross with him. And then when he shed his blood, he poured it out for us. Amen? Just like we've seen in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, when Jesus made the New Covenant, it was with his blood. It wasn't with the blood of bulls and goats. It was with the precious blood of the Son of the living God. So when we drink of that fruit of the vine, that juice this morning, we need to reflect on that. When we take of the body in that wafer, we need to reflect on that and remember what Jesus did for us. He didn't do it for somebody else. Amen? When you partake of these elements this morning, you need to reflect on the fact that he did it for you. Amen? Not somebody else. Not your kids, not your grandparents. Not somebody else sitting in here. He did it for you. Amen? And when he did that, when he shed his blood, it had implications that's much more than just the forgiveness of your sins. When he shed his blood and he died on that cross, he sealed the fate of the enemy. Amen? Because he was sinless. And when he went to the cross and he died as a sinless man, the sins of the whole world were poured upon him. The devil couldn't hold him. Amen? He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them, disarming the principalities and the powers that are in this world today. He disarmed them. Amen. He made them ineffective in your life. The Word of God says He came to destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy means to make him idle and ineffective. Amen? Hallelujah. Everybody needs to say that. Jesus made the devil idle and ineffective in my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He purchased everyone's salvation. He signed a peace treaty between God and with man. He's the mediator. Amen. Isn't that what we read? He's the mediator between God and man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. When we partake of these elements today, we need to be reflecting on these things. Amen. This is serious business. Hallelujah. He established a new covenant. We're not under the old covenant anymore. We're not under the law of Moses. We don't have to keep all those rules and regulations. We're under the covenant of grace. Whew, I should have got a lot more amens than that. We are under the new covenant. Amen? We don't have to earn God's favor. Jesus made it possible for us to become the children of God, the sons and daughters of God. He made it possible that we could become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. The Passover was a memorial commemorating Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Communion is a memorial commemorating our deliverance from the bondage of sin and from the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Secondly, it's a proclamation. As we partake of it, we're proclaiming our faith in the worth and the value of Jesus' blood. That His death was indeed for our sins. As we partake of the supper, you're making a declaration that you believe and you accept the plan of redemption provided to you through the sacrifice that Jesus made. Glory to God. Amen. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, hallelujah, says, For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. It's to be done until He comes. If you don't believe that He's coming again, then why keep the supper? Amen. The Lord's Supper looks backwards, but it also looks forwards. We're remembering everything that He done, but we're also remembering that He's coming back someday. Could be today. Glory to God. Wouldn't that be awesome, right? When we get done taking communion, the trump of God sounds, and we're out of here. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. 2023 could be. Could be the year. Amen. Hallelujah. The third thing is that it's a communion. We read this earlier. It's a fellowship or sharing in the blood of Christ. As we partake, we commune with the blood of Christ in the sense of remembering and reinforcing in our minds and hearts the blessings that we enjoy through the blood of Christ. The blessing of freedom. How many of you like being free?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Has God freed you from some things in your life?
Yes.
I mean, we've got people in here that God's freed them from alcohol, God's freed them from fear, anxiety, panic attacks, all kinds of stuff. Amen. Your tongue. Some of us, that took a while. Amen. Some of us still working on it. Amen. Forgiveness. Hallelujah. One of the things that we partake of is because of forgiveness. We can reflect on that. You ever had somebody you feel like you've wronged them and you're just seeking their forgiveness? It makes you feel bad, doesn't it? Just something about that. You want to get things right. I know some people thrive on things like that, but you ever had that? It's always nice to get forgiveness, to be forgiven of something. We can experience that. We can feel that weight being lifted from us. We can feel that all the remorse leave, that we can be set free and forgiven and walk in that forgiveness that Christ brings. Righteousness. Wow. We don't have to try to earn God's favor, but we are put back in right standing with God. We're ushered into the presence of God when we make Jesus the Lord of our life. All made available to us because of what Jesus did through His body and through His blood. That we are the righteousness of God. And hope. People don't have hope. They're miserable. Amen? I've always said we are to be purveyors of hope, man. We are to be people that are out there just throwing hope out there to people. Well, you just don't want to get people's hopes up. Yes, I do. I know what God can do in your life. I've experienced it myself. I've seen Him do it in other people's lives. I've seen Him take people that that had nothing, and God turned that whole situation around and blessed them. People that couldn't pay their bills on time. People that were told to file bankruptcy. And God just turned that whole situation around. Amen. People that their marriages were a wreck. People they were ready for divorce, or they had already separated, and God put that back together as only He can. Amen. There's always hope. When you get God involved in your life, there is always hope. You can choose to stay outside of that. Choose to say, oh, I'm not going to, I don't believe that stuff. I'm not going to do that. It's hopeless. If you say somebody or some situation is hopeless, you're just denying the ability of God to change that situation. That's all it is. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. He brought hope through His blood and through His body. Amen? A fellowship of sharing in the body of Christ. As we partake, we commune with the body of Christ in the sense of remembering and reinforcing in our mind and our hearts the blessings that we enjoy through the body of Christ. We read it in Isaiah. One of those blessings is peace. Hallelujah. We played a game Christmas Day. It was like, how well do you know your family? We had about 20 of us, aunts and uncles, grandkids, cousins, everybody in our living room, and we're playing it. And you had to take the card, read it, formulate your answer or what you would answer, and then you had to read the question, and everybody in the room just starts shouting out answers, and whoever gets the answer right, they get the card. And the first person to accumulate so many cards wins. So my card was, what do you worry most about? I couldn't come up with an answer. I said, this is tough. I don't worry. I said, oh, well, Pastor, you got it. I don't. I'm not a worrying person. I never was a worrying person. And since I became a Christian, worry even less. And less than like 1% is not real much, right? So finally, I just come up with the state of our country was the only thing I could come up with. And people guessed all kinds of things. And finally, Kevin, our youngest son, he said that. And I said, there you go, that's it. But you can have peace. You can have that peace provided to you because of what Jesus gave to us. Amen? Hallelujah. You can have health. Divine health. Speak health over yourself. 2023, I'm going to be the best year I've ever had health-wise. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to be healed up, ready to go. Praise God. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Anytime those germs come around me, they just dry up and die. Amen? Doesn't matter whether it's COVID, the 27th version or whatever. Whether it's the flu, whether it's a cold, whatever. Speak health over yourself. All because of what Jesus did. By His stripes, we were healed. Amen? Hallelujah. Health and healing. Something afflicting you? Thank God. Through the blood of Jesus, through the body of Christ, His sacrifice that He made, by His stripes, I am healed. It's not for somebody else. Claim it for yourself. Hallelujah. The Lord's Supper has great significance. Should never be taken lightly. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 27. Says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the blood or the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Now the word worthily here, it's an adverb describing how we take it, not whether we're worthy to take it or not. Should be taken and viewed as something special, something prized and valued. As I said earlier, when it's taken just as a ritual or ordinary thing, I believe it loses its impact and its significance. We take time this morning to reflect on the supreme price that Jesus paid for our sins. Amen? The cruel torture and humiliation of His physical body, the spiritual anguish suffered as Jesus bore the punishment for our sins, reflected in the fact when He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? To make light of the memorial puts one in the same category as those who mocked Him as He hung on the cross. It's to be done with self-examination. such as reflecting on one's spiritual condition. Are we living in a manner that shows appreciation for his sacrifice? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17, says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Praise the Lord. Amen. Examine ourselves, accepting the grace of God in our life, accepting the fact that we've been reconciled only through Christ. Amen. We've been made righteous because of him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In one sense, the Lord's Supper is a very private matter between a Christian and their God. It's a time to reflect on the past and resolve for the future. On the other hand, it's a very public matter. As you share with other members of the body of Christ, as you share, you're making a declaration that you recognize and accept everything that Jesus Christ has done for you. Amen? It's to be done with other Christians. Praise the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Praise the Lord. Verse 33, talking about the Lord's Supper, he says, "So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another." Amen. Praise the Lord. Partaking of the together of the bread, we commune not just with the Lord, but with one another. The Lord's Supper builds fellowship with one another as well as with the Lord. They come together, seems to, when you read in the book of Acts and other places, they came together and ate meals, and they also took communion when they were together doing those things. So, they were, the early church communed together doing it quite often. Praise the Lord. Our spiritual lives are dependent upon the value and the benefit of our Lord's death on the cross. And as we remember those things and we commune with the Lord today as we partake of these things, it helps us to live our lives. It reminds us to live our lives accordingly and appreciatively. Amen. The Lord's Supper is a very special memorial of his death for our sins. instituted by Jesus himself. He asked his disciples to do it in his memory. Jesus told his disciples he would not eat of the elements again until in Matthew 26:29, he says, "That day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Hallelujah. In Mark 14:25, he says, "That day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." We are to do this until we have that special communion we will have with Jesus in his Father's kingdom, spoken often in terms of as the heavenly feast. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Christians today should never lose sight of the significance for us. Communion is a constant reminder of the great sacrifice Jesus paid for our sins. It's a communion or sharing of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time for self-examination and rededication of our service to the Lord. And it's a means for building fellowship with one another in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together and just to open your word, Father, and reflect upon the significance of these elements that we will receive today. And we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.